Since Jesus dwells in my heart, since Jesus dwells in my heart, I have peace and joy, as the song goes. Since Jesus dwells in my heart. And this songwriter goes on and says, and the heavenly crown awaits the fighter, since Jesus dwells in my heart. After the pilgrimage, an eternal reward above, since Jesus dwells in my heart. Well, brothers and sisters, if that is to happen, then something must have happened in the person's life. And there came a man to the Lord in the night, a great man. I want to read it from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Up to here, this wonderful and holy word of God. I don't know, but this is a glorious word. It is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see how a Nicodemus came to the Lord to receive life, eternal life. And there is only one way through Calvary. And the Lord pointed him out, even according to Numbers 21, verse 8. He says, as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yes, see how wonderful. And through this, we can receive eternal life or salvation. We know when we read in Numbers 28, verse 8, what is written there. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass, that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass, that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Dear brothers and sisters, here was more than a serpent of brass. Here the Son of God was lifted up. And here we see, whoever looks on him by faith can still be redeemed, delivered, and saved today. Grace is still here today. In those days came a great teacher, the teacher of Israel, not a teacher, but the teacher of Israel, to the Lord. And the Lord told him the things in very simple words. He could not understand it. He couldn't get it. You know, it is only grace. When God gives a person open eyes and an understanding that one can believe in the only begotten Son, in Jesus Christ, in his suffering and death. And we believe he went for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise and thanks be to his wonderful name. Now we are again grateful, brothers and sisters, for this hour of grace. And again we are thankful for his precious and holy word. And I think we have reason again to offer our Lord the honor and the praise and the glory and the worship. For we know what he has done for us. Oh, what wonders God has graciously wrought in me. That's how this songwriter has put it. And I would like to say that also we must be able to say that. And we can say that with full certainty and full conviction. Oh, what wonders God has graciously wrought in me. Yes, praise be to his glorious name. And here we cannot but lift up his name, praise him, and glorify him, for he has become everything for us. Let us rise and worship him. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for every song we have sung. O Lord, what wonders you have also wrought in me. Therefore, let us not cease to sing praise to your name, O Most High, and praise you, for you have done great things for us all. Receive the thanksgiving, receive the worship even now in this evening hour, and bless my brothers, and bless us through the word they will bring to us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have heard so much of the Word of God already. If we have taken it in, then we could already give thanks and worship for the speaking of the Lord. And we have emphasized in the past time that not everyone understands the way the Lord speaks, and that God wants to give us grace to understand it, not because of us, but because of Him, that He has opened our hearts and ears to it. It wasn't because of the person. Many have heard the Lord, and few understood Him. It was those who had been ordained to receive His words, that they might bear fruit. Every word that was read, you could go into that and dwell on it longer. I want to stop at Romans 12 for a little bit. The other two words are very important, but here there seems to me to be a word addressed to the church, to the task of the church. And we know the Lord speaks personally, like the conversation with Nicodemus, a personal conversation to lead him to salvation, to what the Lord has prepared for the individual. Then, in the word of Revelation, the Lord spoke again to an individual, to John, and told him what was to be brought to the churches later. But here, in Romans, in chapter 12, the church is addressed, not just one individual, but all of us are addressed. And I don't want to read all these verses again. The main thought is to gain a sure judgment of what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And we read it in the one verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And the Lord said to them, "You do not understand the manner of my speech, because ye are not willing to listen to the words that I speak to you." They had their thoughts in their hearts and were not ready to hear. But while he was speaking, they were already forging their own answers without responding to what he was saying to them. Now here it says so wonderfully, that ye might have a sure, that is not a blurred, or only an assumption, or uncertain, but that ye may have a sure, an absolute, a certain judgment of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if ever there was a time when this word should be taken seriously, it is now. that we have a sure judgment. And a sure judgment cannot be your and my judgment. It must be the judgment of God from His Word. It must be His Word that judges things in this time. It is only through His Word that we will come to that sure judgment. For your word and mine is uncertain. Your judgment and mine is uncertain. But God's word is certain. And according to the word of God, we are to be able to form a certain, an absolute judgment of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we had heard nothing else tonight but this one verse, and this verse could go to our hearts, and it could become a prayer concern for us, so that we say, Lord, you demand it in your word. Help us to be able to fulfill this demand. And then it goes on to say, I might want to read verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts, we read this word, and then we ask ourselves the question, does it apply to us? Are we the body of the Lord? Are we members? Do we have gifts of the Spirit? Can we carry out ministries? Or do we have a theoretical teaching here that is somehow not in harmony with practice? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, that we have been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And Brother Branham has made it very clear, not in one, but in many sermons. He says, by the new birth, we are purified as vessels before God, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit, the vessel is put into service. A vessel is wonderful, but if it is not put into service, then even the most beautiful vessel is of no use, because it does not fulfill any task. Then you can put it somewhere as an exhibit, and then people may admire it. But that is not what God wants. God wants us to become vessels that He fills with His Spirit. Because, brothers and sisters, that is God's Word, and it must speak to my heart and to your heart. This is not Brother Rus and Brother Frank or any other brother speaking to you, but God's Word speaks to me, to him, to all of us. And we must face this Word of God to gain a sure judgment by the grace of God in this last time. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? And then Each one is to be used of God according to the measure of faith as it has been allotted to him. And then comes the verse that we have already read. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. No matter what gift, what ministry, whatever we have been given, it can only be carried out in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, we cannot perform any service. But the emphasis is laid on that we becoming a functioning body of the Lord, a body of many members that God can use, a living organism that God is to use for his glory here on this earth. And we know that the ministry of Jesus Christ is to continue, and it is impossible for us to just look at the word here, year in and year out. It must become reality. God must be able to reveal himself. It must be repeated what we read here, what we look at, and what God has promised. It is not enough for us to look at and visualize all the things that God did ages ago. We have to do that to know what he wants to do today. But it can't remain with the contemplation and that we say, Lord, the thing was wonderful that you did then. That is not the purpose of the proclamation. The point of preaching the word is that faith can be worked today, so that God can repeat today what he did then. And before that, we will not be satisfied. Before that, we will not rest in God until we have seen with our own eyes the repetition of what we read about in the Holy Scripture. If it were our words, they would be blown away by the wind, and that would be the end of it. But God's word is not blown away by the wind. God's word is summarized and placed in the hearts of the believers. What does the Lord want to say to us today through this word? What does he want to say to you? What does he want to make clear to me through this word? First, that we find grace in his sight, experience the renewing of our mind and heart, to have a sure judgment of what the will of God is now. Now, at this time, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And then, of course, everything else will have to be added by the grace of God. There is no other way We cannot pass by any experience that God has promised to the church. Whoever goes past it will go past the goal. God wants to do in the end what He did in the beginning. He wants to reveal Himself. He wants the vessels that He has taken. And He says in John 15, verse 16, "Not you have chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." When and how can lasting fruit come? Only when God has worked it. Your fruit and my fruit will not be lasting, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that He can work, that will be lasting. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts, members who have gifts. And I have said it many times, just as Christ, as the head of the body, is alive, so in the body of Jesus Christ, living members are imbued with the power of God, set for a certain task by God. It need not be anything great that we imagine. We do not need to imagine anything great or small. The only thing we have to ask for is that God, by grace, comes to His right, and that we see His word confirmed as true in our midst. That you might see it confirmed as true in your own life, and I might see it confirmed as true in my own life. That God's word might not only be written here as true, but that it might be confirmed as true in your life and in my life by grace. Oh, that God would put such a deep desire in the heart of all of us to just ask Him to make of us what He had in mind when He had in mind the church that He redeemed on the cross of Calvary with all its tasks and whatever it may be. We can't tell the Lord, do this and do that. He is not here for us to give Him orders, but we can come to Him in faith, in prayer, and bring Him His word, saying, Lord, You gave us the promise. Make us capable. Give us the grace to have the attitude we need to come before Your face in prayer in such a way that our prayers get through to Him and that we understand the way He speaks. Have we understood it tonight? What He wanted to say to you and me by grace through His word. Let us offer it to Him in prayer and ask Him to fulfill it in us by grace, and this in faith, not in unbelief, not in depression, but truly in faith that God stands by His word and that He watches over it to fulfill it in those who have received it in faith. God delights to make His promises come true in your life and in mine. Blessed be His name. Amen. Now I think we pray for it. Let us stand up for these words that we could read with one another, that we heard. Lord, I thank you that you have spoken at all times to individuals and also to the church, O God. Lord, we thank you that you have also spoken to us in these last days, and we give you the honor and the praise and the glory and the worship. But Lord, that is not enough. We want to still more of you, still more of you, Savior, until the end, O Lord, until we are translated into your Father's house. Lord, if it is thy will, you can manifest yourself mightily. We wait for it. Not that it just remains with the proclamation of your word, but that we also experience, Lord, that we make experiences with you, Lord. Give them to all of us, Lord. Please be merciful in this last hour, in these last moments, as we are still here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we may have your word. Lord, it's so precious. It is such a richly prepared table, Lord, that you set always before us, Lord. And so we continue to commit ourselves to you, into the hands of the Father. Abide with us also in this night, Lord. May you hold your protecting hands over us and keep us from all misfortune and harm, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.